You're listening to the podcast of Williamsburg Christian Church, a community of faith joining God's pursuit of restoring lives. We hope you enjoy this week's podcast. So last week we talked about God as a deliverer in the image Isaiah gives us of God as a mother. All right, this opening us up to the maternal nature of God, who made men and women in God's image, therefore men and women both expression of God's self, right? Showing us that God longs to console and comfort and nurse us back to life in moments of chaos and struggle, tragedy and trauma. And I've said this in both of the messages, both of Mourner and Mother, that I believe these images can open us up to see God's life-giving action on behalf of God's people, while at the same time rooting this action in a deeply compassionate presence with the suffering, the vulnerable, and the powerless. I think these images paint a picture of God as a fierce, powerful, and tender liberator and deliverer. I also believe these images can teach us how to live in our current moment. It can teach us how to uphold the biblical values of mercy, a commitment to life, and show compassion to our neighbors in a society committed to misuse power, to show no mercy, to humiliate, and at worst, destroy life. So this morning, I want to think about God as midwife. Now, this may be tricky because we live in a moment in history and on the side of a map where most babies are born in hospitals surrounded by doctors and nurses and other medical professionals. And we may be unaware of the role midwives have played in bringing new life into the world forever, right? Like it's been said that the role of midwife is the oldest vocation after motherhood itself. Midwives, not doctors, attend to more than 70% of the world's births outside of the United States. With strong hearts and non-anxious presence and gentle hands, midwives throughout the ages have helped women give birth, ushered new life into the world. And this metaphor of God as midwife is not a usual way of thinking of God as deliverer. It, as a matter of fact, only occurs a very few instances in the biblical tradition. And I don't want to make more of it than what it is. But when you think of God as deliverer, that language in and of itself paints an image of midwifery, right? Like that God is there in the midst of the intersection of the fragility and the tenderness of life with God's strong hands and non-anxious presence to bring life into the world. So what I want to suggest is that this image of God as a midwife can offer us powerful insight into God's liberating presence. That's what I want to suggest, particular insight. Because the reality of scriptures is we are offered many different lenses through which we can learn about how God feels about God's people, and we can see the many sides of God's heart for God's people. All of these images, right, like God being God with all of these names, some that are actual formal names and some that are just descriptions, all of these images make up this one multifaceted prism through which we can see God's self and in that see ourselves. I believe all these different descriptions that the scriptures offer us and all the names that God even gives himself reminds us that God being God is everything we need. If we need a father, he is father. If we need a savior, he is savior. If we need a king, he is king. If we need a warrior, he is warrior. If we need a deliverer, he is a deliverer. If we need him to join us in our grief, he is our divine mourner. If we need divine comfort and consolation, he is our mother. Each metaphor and description surrounding these images, and so much more, including the meanings behind the names given to God's self, put aspects of God's self on display. All of these metaphors, descriptions, proper names, all of them are important because they all communicate one primary message. God is a relational God who loves and wants to be known by those God loves. Like that in and of itself is good news. That God isn't some stoic creator. God isn't like the other so-called gods, always angry and fickle in his acceptance of his creative ones. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob reveals to us in Jesus Christ that God is love and longs to love God's people and wants us to know God's love. You and I are intimately known by the God who knows us best and loves us most. And he wants us to see him and know him as the God who loves us with a faithful and liberating love. Here in Psalm 71, the language that offers us a picture of God as midwife gives us another insight into the relationship between God and God's people. There's an intimacy between God and God's people, like that of a mother in labor and a midwife. And it's subtle, admittedly, but I want to show you three texts this morning, two in Psalms and one in Isaiah, that I think captures this image. But I could also, I think, suggest pretty clearly that the word deliverer itself suggests this image. Let's read the text, Psalm 71, verse 1 through 8. Lord, I seek refuge in you. Let me never be disgraced. In your justice, rescue and deliver me. Listen closely to me and save me. Be a rock of refuge for me where I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the power of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and oppressive. For you are my hope, Lord God, my confidence from my youth. I have leaned on you from birth. You took me from my mother's womb. My praise is always about you. I'm like a miraculous sign to many, and you are my strong refuge. Verse 6, I have leaned on you from birth. You took me from my mother's womb. Psalm 22, verse 9, the psalmist writes, it was you who brought me out of the womb, making me secure at my mother's breast. I was given over to you at birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. See, I think the language that imagines God as midwife, this God who delivers God's people as bringing or taking them out of the womb, is the language of life in the unsettled land of death. In the life of God's people, tragedy surrounds them. Trauma overwhelms them. And when people experience trauma, a kind of dissonance is experienced. It's this sense of displacement, this disconnect between one's feeling of self and understanding of self and the world in which one lives. Life is just unpredictable and uncertain. Nothing is what it seems. Lament and sorrow leaves us reaching for a language capable of giving us hope. And that's really the story of Scripture here. But the language of midwife reverses the death God's people see and feel and helps them remember that God is actually committed to life. Just as in the language of God as mourner and God as mother, God as midwife transforms their understanding of God despite what they see and offers a new direction of hope and new life. In the midst of the same old tragedy and trauma, God is still bringing new life into the world. God is still the God of newness. God is still the God of new possibilities. And God hasn't left them groaning in their sorrow, just like a midwife refuses to leave a mother in labor. With a strong heart, non-anxious presence, and gentle hands, God is there. And see, in many cultures, especially back in the time of scriptures where women die in childbirth, midwives stand in the intersection of death and life. There's a fragile nature to the process of birth. In many ways, both mother and child are fragile. But the midwife is strong. The midwife is sure. Everyone else is anxious. The midwife isn't anxious. And here in these two texts, and soon in Isaiah, we're invited to see that God stands at the intersection of death and life with a strong heart and a non-anxious presence. God can always be found in these life and death situations and bring new life. God is always bringing about new possibilities, even in the midst of the impossible. But it's in this unsettled land of sin and death that we are tempted to forget about new possibilities. We look around and become cynical and apathetic. We're tempted to believe that it won't get any better or that it'll always be this way. And over the course of time, we are tempted to believe that God is no longer bringing in newness or working out new possibilities. We would never say such a thing with our lips, but we would whisper it with our lives. And this struggle has always been the struggle of God's people, because we've always lived in the unsettled land of sin and death. So God gives God's people a word. It's almost as if God answers the psalmist's cries for God to deliver, for God to stand in the intersection of death and life and bring them to life. Isaiah, in Isaiah 66, verse 7, says this: "Before Zion was in labor, she gave birth. Before she was in pain, she delivered a boy. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such things? Can a land be born in one day or a nation be delivered in an instant? Yet as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her sons. Will I bring a baby to the point of birth and not deliver it? Says the Lord. Or will I who deliver close the womb? Says your God." Now listen, you may have been struggling with this language of midwife up to this point, but to me this text is pretty clear. I want to read that again, because this is what Yahweh says. "Will I bring a baby to the point of birth and not deliver it? Says the Lord. Or will I who deliver close the womb? Says your God." See, through the prophet Isaiah, God asks, will I bring a baby to the point of birth and not deliver it? God is using this language of midwife and saying that I will usher new life into the world. What I have begun, I will bring to completion. It's what God longs to do. God is a God of life in the unsettled land of sin and death. And it's why the Christian scriptures call death God's enemy. Or why Jesus once said that it was the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you may have life to its fullest. God ask the hearers of Isaiah, will I bring a baby to the point of death, point of birth and not deliver it? Will I not finish what I start? It's almost as if Isaiah is asking us, do you believe God is faithful or unfaithful? And if you believe God is faithful, do you believe in new possibilities? See, Paul knew that God is always full of new possibilities. That's why Paul wrote this prayer to the Christians in Colossae. Colossians 1, verse 9 to 13. Paul says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We're asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light." Now listen to this language in verse 13 that reminds us that God is still our deliverer. Verse 13, "For he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." You see that language? God in Christ has delivered us out of the darkness and into the kingdom. God has midwifed us from the captivity of the reign of sin and death and its unsettled land of sin and death and into the reign of grace and new life. Because when Jesus was executed on a cross and raised to new life, the promise of new possibilities broke into the world. Anyone and everyone can have a new beginning again and again and again and again. God is always delivering, always midwifing, right? Through God's Spirit, who now lives in God's people, making us beautiful from the inside out over time. And what God has begun, God will complete. And it's why I think Paul wrote this to the Christians and church leaders in Philippi, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. "To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you, my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And listen to this. I am sure of this, Paul says, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. See, in the midst of the unsettled land of sin and death, there is still a powerful force at work in the world, as God's presence and power is still at work in and through God's people by the power of God's Spirit. In this text, Paul writes, I just want to be clear, it isn't about me or you as individual solo Christ followers. So don't read this text. Don't let yourself hear this text as being written to Fred in Philippi. It's to the saints, to the church. It's about God's work that he began in the church. God is midwifing his purposes for the world through the church, and the church then participates in God's work in the world to join God in that midwifing, right? And midwifing God's purposes into the world. The church is a community of active partakers and participants in God's life in this moment. And although this text isn't about you and me as individual solo Christians, it does involve you and me as individual Christ followers because we are in community together. See, I take great hope from that. Because if I read this text well in 2020 Williamsburg, Virginia, I hear Paul reminding the church in Williamsburg, and then specifically Williamsburg Christian Church, and then as a result of that, me and you, that what God has begun in us as a church family, he will carry through. What he has planned for WCC will follow through. And what he's planned for WCC must include me and you, because you and I are here. See, you and I have divine roles to accomplish God's work in and through God's church. The divine midwife living within you and me, working among us and between us, the Holy Spirit of God, will deliver us into God's purposes. See, no matter where you are in life, God isn't through with you. No matter where you are in your marriage, no matter how broken or irreparable it may seem, no matter where you are in your season of singleness, no matter where you are in the season of transition, no matter where you are in your vocation or God's purposes for your life, no matter where you are in this pandemic with all of its wild unpredictability and limitation, God isn't through with you. So don't be through with God. God has not and never will give up on us. No matter our groaning, no matter the tragedy, trauma, God is always at work, somewhere, somehow, bringing in new possibilities of new life. And we are told to expect new life. Do you expect new life? That's my question. Do you expect it? Or do you just resign yourself to thinking this is the way it's going to be? And I am saying to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the name of Jesus, expect new life. Don't try to manage the expectations now. I'm not saying we get to manage the timing of it all. God will midwife newness when God will midwife newness. But he will indeed midwife newness. Your life and my life is given to us, not only for us to enjoy, but as a gift. A gift to the world in this moment, this time, in this place. You and I are God's. And our individual vocations and callings have been divinely shaped, led, and empowered by the hands of the divine midwife we call the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit who lives in you and works among us and between us will lead each one of us together into the redemptive work of God in our homes, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and all of the places we walk. No matter what the unsettled land of sin and death tell us, the prophet Isaiah, the psalmist, and our beloved apostle Paul points us to the reality of God, that God is always ushering in new life, because God was deliverer then, is deliverer now, and will always deliver God's people. Disciples, learn, because not automatic, learn to trust and learn to hope in, which is a sense of expectation. That no matter where we are in this moment, no matter how twisted up we feel, God has the final word. And God's final word to us is life.
You're listening to the podcast of Williamsburg Christian Church, a community of faith joining God's pursuit of restoring lives. We hope you enjoy this week's podcast.